we'll have on here. Someone will just have to have you turn to. This is something, so we would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now, this is something that I've been battling in my mind a lot about doing this, and I think there's a reason for it. My heart, last night, I just felt to sit back there and under this anointing of the service, just, Lord, is this really what you want? And I couldn't get away from it. And so I guess if my mind's fighting it, that means the enemy doesn't want it.
Right.
And so what we're going to talk about this morning, and you can go ahead and pull that up, what we're going to talk about this morning is a ministry above worship. Now, I know that sounds a little maybe odd, but there's a reason for this. And you may not, some of the things that we're talking about this morning, you may not be going through this as of yet, but you will face some things. And this is a very difficult thing that we find quite often in the message of what we're fixing to talk about. And so I pray that you're attentive to it, and that it gets into the depths of your heart, all right? That's our heart's desire this morning.
Amen.
So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read 21 through 24. Amen. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Now, so real quick, what he's saying, what he condemns here, again, is anger without a cause. That is unjustly, rashly, hastily, where no offense has been given or intended. Okay, so really listen to what Jesus is saying here. It says, shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We're going to read a quote here kind of to begin, and then we're just going to build up to this. I know you're tired. There was a lot of knocking on heads yesterday, so I figured if I could have this up here, it might help you read with me a little bit, all right? And then you help your brother out or your sister out if you see them. Knock their heads. Maybe not do that. I don't want to get in trouble. We can't have Brother Doug and Brother Lindsay. All right. Here some time ago, a little German woman, I sent them out by the thousands, and she received one, and she had her neighbors to come in, and she didn't have a pastor, so she had the neighbors come in and pray. And she confessed all her faults. She says, there's one thing you've got to do is make things right with God. Because the affliction might be on you for that purpose, so to bring you to God. So confess all your sins. And when she did, she laid it upon her. She'd been crippled with the arthritis for about 20 years. And she said, all right, old man devil, now the works is done, so get away. Here I come. Got right up and walked away from the wheelchair. Just that simple. See, Satan wants to overcomplicate things, right? But it's just that simple to take God at his word. But sometimes there's things in our life, little hidden things that we might not even know is there, that can be hindering us from going further.
Amen.
Listen, it can hinder an entire church service.
Yes, sir.
It can hinder an entire family. If something is stayed in your family, if something is not exposed, it can keep you from complete victory. So now the works is all finished. So just get up and walk away. That's the way we've got to believe, just in that manner, just as simple as we can be. All right? So this is very important. We want to look at the word or the terminology here of affliction. So let us examine the word affliction. And we see it says, which refers to something that causes pain or suffering. Now this can encompass various conditions such as disorders, diseases, and ailments. Now, this is important here. This does not just have to be fleshly affliction, but this is it's the spiritual that hurts the most. You might be the most healthiest of individuals,
right.
But you could have spiritual affliction.
Oh,
listen, I want you to understand that you might be a believer and you might be sealed and all of those things, but you can have spiritual afflictions. You can grow cold. You can have some spiritual sickness in your life. Sometimes That can happen. Listen, let's talk about the natural. You can take all your vitamins, you can do all the exercising, you can do everything that you can and still have sickness attack your body. You can do all the right things, but sometimes you're going to be tested. Right? So as we examine this, I really want to examine our lives. I want to make sure that when we leave this place, that everything is clear, no matter what it is. And I'm trying not to jump ahead here. I want to make sure that everything is out of the way. And I really like this next quote that we see here. Brother Branham is speaking and he says, "And remember, the only way that Israel ever lost a man is when what? Sin got in the camp." That's the only way we can ever lose a victory. I like to sing, "I'm going to see a victory." You like to sing, "I'm going to see a victory." But if there's sin, what is sin?
Unbelief.
So you know this. I'm going to say it again. What is sin?
Unbelief.
Sin is unbelief. So when unbelief gets in the camp, it's as simple as just not believing that God can do it for you.
Amen.
Can be sin.
Amen.
Sometimes we think, well, I'm not doing all these things. I'm not cussing. I'm not smoking and drinking and watching bad things. You might have the cleanest of homes. You might have pictures all on your walls. You know what I'm talking about? You might have everything in your house just right. But if you just simply disbelieve that God can do it for you, it is sin.
Yeah.
Right.
So here we find that's the only way we can ever lose a victory is for sin to get in the camp. Something wrong somewhere. When Achan stole that wedge and that Babylonian garment, sin was in the camp. And the battle went wrong. Says, "You give me this spotless church tonight, this group of people perfectly in the promise of God, with the Holy Ghost walking in the Spirit." I love this. "I challenge any disease, any affliction, or anything that there is, every Joe Lewis there is in the country with all of his infidelity and all of the unbelievers that there is, to bring any sickness or affliction in this door, and they'll walk out of here perfectly whole." Yes, sir. God gave me the promise. Only sin of unbelief can keep it away.
Yeah.
Only that can keep it away. Let's go to the next one real quick. Is it all right if we have some verses for
you?
So now, remember tonight, I'm just praying, laying hands on the sick. If Christ will come and manifest Himself here now, and I feel down along the line that He wants me to stop with somebody, I'll do that. But otherwise, I'm just going to start praying for the sick and just letting it go at that. Now, and if you've got unconfessed sin,
right?
Remember, be it known unto you, I'm not responsible. I'm putting it right back in your lap now. So I want you to understand what the prophet is doing here. He's putting it back on them. You can come before any minister. You can come up to the anointing. But if that sin is not confessed in your life,
that is right.
And sometimes we go to the ministry thinking they're going to call it out. That's not the way it always works.
Amen.
God wants you to confess that.
Yeah.
Now, I believe, as our brother mentioned the other day, that the days of Ananias and Sapphira, we got to be cautious coming in.
Yeah.
That it can be called out. And listen, brothers and sisters, I believe in that. And it's happened in my own assembly. It's happened in my own home.
Oh, yeah.
Those are wonderful things. But when you can recognize for yourself there's something holding me from getting my victory or just taking the next step. So Brother Graham was like, "I am not responsible for that." Right. I'm putting it back in your lap. If you've got unconfessed sin, you walk right out of the line.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Walk right out of the line.
Good.
And make that right with God.
Wonderful.
Before you come in this line.
Wonderful.
And the Lord will bless you for that if you'll be that sincere. So as we look into this, and I don't have this scripture on the slides, but I wanted to bring this back up again. You have it with you in Matthew 5:21. Now again, Jesus did not come to weaken the word, but to expound upon it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And so you have heard that it was said by them of old time, "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." But I'm going to read this portion here. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause." So what he is condemning here, again, I'm going to repeat this, is anger without a cause. That is unjustly, rashly, hastily, where no offense has been given or intended.
Right.
Because there's a lot of times offenses will come your way that were not intended.
Right.
True.
Right.
That individual didn't know.
Right.
They didn't know your conviction.
Right.
As we talked about on the first day, they didn't know what it was. They didn't know how you were raised. They didn't know what it was. And they've come from all the way on the other side over here, and they've come, and they're just living their best life and doing the best they can, and all of a sudden something is said that offends you.
Right.
Right.
All right, young people, I want us to stay focused with this. You might not be facing this, but this is a big problem. This causes church issues, family issues, all right? And so we want to make sure that this doesn't happen, because everything is all great right now, right? But something's going to come your way that's going to offend you. I'm just going to be real with you. It could be the way, maybe somebody might quote a scripture and might mess it up, and you might, I can't believe they said that wrong. They could sing a song wrong. They could sing it all the wrong way. And it offends you. And then before you know it, you sit in the church and you become angry. Jesus is saying, no, something's different. Something's wrong here. Because it's happened and it wasn't intended to be. Maybe it was intended.
Right.
Albert Barnes is saying here, he says, in this case it is evil and it is a violation of the sixth commandment, because he that hateth his brother is a murderer.
Right.
Goodness. Well, Brother Jeremy, I haven't stabbed no one in the back, but have we? I can't believe that. I can't believe that, that sister. I can't believe. I mean, doesn't she know? Doesn't she know? Listen, you don't always have to blame the pastors. They might be preaching the word. The evangelist might be trying to preach the word, but listen, you can't make anybody do anything. And I want to say this, we're not here to do that.
Amen.
I don't want to make anybody serve God. That's not true love.
That's right.
This is not an arranged marriage by man, is what I'm talking about. Oh man, that's a different sermon. It's good. I want you to take the negative side on that. Notice what he says here. He's in 1 John 3:13, and I have this on the slide. It says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. What? Because we love the brethren.
Right.
So there's something to this. This is not cliquish. This is not churchianity. This is not religion. This is not the church.
That's right.
This is the love of the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I know how it is. He said you got to love him, but you don't got to like him. No, that's not God.
Right.
Hallelujah. Whosoever hateth his brother is a what?
Murderer.
Wait. Are we reading the same Bible? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Brother Jeremy, I'm not facing this right now. Just listen, buckle up.
That's right.
Listen. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for him.
Good.
I can't do it, don't you know? They believe this and I believe this.
Come on.
I can't do it. No, it's... Well, listen, did Jesus die for you or did he not?
Yes, he did.
Some of you believe it, some of you don't. Some of you don't know what you believe. Did Jesus die for you or did he not?
Amen.
He died for you when you were still... Can I just put it this way? When you were still lost in sins, he died for you knowing that you would still, in a sense, curse his name, reject him, all those things. I was the one that put him on the cross.
Right.
I was the one that plucked his beard, and he still did it for me. Hallelujah. And the same thing is applied to us today, that we've got to love our brothers and our sisters. And it's important. We're going to get to what we're talking about here. Now, let's go to the next one. The priority of healthy relationships. See, there is an emphasis here that God values our relationships with others. Before we approach Him in worship, we must ensure that our hearts are free from unresolved issues.
Right.
You can come up here and you can stand and you can lift your hands and we can praise and we can do it in our chairs and all of those things.
Right.
But if our hearts have those unresolved issues, if we're thinking about the issue that we have with this brother or sister, listen, it can simply happen on the way to church. I don't know about you, but the devil loves to hit on the way to church.
True.
Husband and wife could never have any problems all week long, and then all the way to church, boom, 30 minutes before, it's like over.
Come on.
Help somebody.
No, because the food wasn't cooked right, or the sheep, and I've dealt with this before, she took too long fixing her hair. That's why we have two vehicles. I go to church early, leave it to her. She's not in here, so I'm free to say this. You follow what I'm saying?
That's right.
Those kids that were so good all week.
Right.
Come on.
All of a sudden are attacked with something the day before.
Yeah.
Right? And then before you know it, we don't even go to church sometimes.
Oh my.
And then we sing that old song. Now, Brother Doug, you know, sang an old song that nobody knew. But then I still know some old songs, and I'm not old. Like the old song that the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's
nose.
Thank you. Somebody knew it. The whole family had to stay home. Well, don't you think Satan wants to... Okay, maybe I should move forward. The priority of healthy relationships. It's important that we don't hold to these things. And why are we doing it? Because we're always waiting on someone else to fix it first.
Right.
And before you know it, we've created a civil war in our family. We've created a civil war in our church. We've created a civil war from state to state.
Come on.
Right.
Let's go to the next one. I'm going to try to something. Worship as relationship. Worship is fundamentally about relationship, both our relationship with God and others. When Jesus instructs us to reconcile before offering our gifts, he emphasizes that our worship should not be merely ritualistic, but rooted in genuine connection and love. So, I mean, how can you say you love God and you hate your brother? How can you literally come and worship freely when you have ought against your sister or ought against your brother? And well, don't they know? I mean, they were the ones that were in the wrong. It doesn't matter. Jesus gives no explanation on that. He says, don't hate them.
That's right.
Don't do this. Don't hold that. Don't hold that. Do you want it to be held over you?
No, sir.
I'm going to ask that question. Do you want it to be held over you? Those things that you did against Christ, those things that you did against your brother or sister, do you want that to be held over your life?
Yes.
Absolutely not. You want to worship freely. You want to give your all. You want to give everything. So this worship is about relationship with God, and you cannot even have relationship truly with Him unless your relationship with your brother or sister is correct and accurate and with love.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means you're not who you are. You're not who you were, is what I mean. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who hath reconciled. Oh, we're getting somewhere here. He hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
You have a ministry.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you're with me, young people. I want you to raise your hand and say, I have a ministry. That's what the Bible's saying here. You, Christ, Jesus Christ, so He's the one that's done it, has given us, no, that's for someone else. I have the ministry of judgmentalness. I have been given the ministry of proving everybody wrong. No. He gave me the ministry of making sure that everybody is right in the message. No. He gave all of us the ministry of reconciliation.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Because if we're not careful, we want to try to prove everybody wrong.
Right.
Right?
Help us all.
All right. To wit, with that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Yes.
I'm glad that he didn't impute all of my sins on me. I'm glad that he didn't leave on me.
Right.
So now he has committed to you. He has done it for you.
Good.
Now he wants you to do it for him.
Wonderful.
I want you to understand what I'm saying here. If we are to be the final bride of Jesus Christ, this is the Spirit of Christ that should be in us.
Amen.
The Spirit of reconciliation. All right?
Yes.
So let's go. What are we talking about here? So the word reconcile is to restore to friendship or harmony, to settle, to resolve, to return to favor with. So when there is, listen carefully, when there is unresolved conflict, whether it is within yourself or others, it affects not only our personal peace, but also the unity of the church body.
That's right.
God wants us to live in harmony with one another as well as ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
It is hard to live in harmony with ourselves. Right? But he wants us to live in harmony with ourselves and with others. But
good.
Jeremy, what happens if they did? So just show them the love of God.
Amen.
Live the word.
Amen.
Sometimes preaching at them when they're down doesn't work.
Right.
Sometimes just living it. I'm not telling you to just be, as we know, a tater vine back. I'm not telling you to just be a wimp about it. No, stand upon the word. If Satan comes against you, then stand upon the word. But we need to have the right discernment to know when to do it and when to be hushed.
Right.
That's right.
Because sometimes we need to zip our lips.
Right.
And just let the Spirit of God speak for our lives. Listen, we can't help it if someone rejects this message and they walk away from it, we can't help that.
Right.
But we don't know. Maybe they will come back. Listen, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. And if your pastor teaches differently, follow. But I've always believed in this. Jesus, when the rich young ruler turned and walked away, Jesus didn't go running after him.
No, he didn't. That's right.
When the prodigal son left, that father stayed right where he was at.
Yeah.
And the prodigal son had to come to himself. Don't you get caught running after somebody and get caught in the filth they're in. Right? But show them the love and compassion. If they call you up, listen, if they start bashing the word and things, listen, don't listen to that junk. But if they call you, give them the love of God. Encourage them, show them those things. Right? You follow what I'm saying? Live reconciliation.
Right.
Don't just make it a theology. Live reconciliation.
Yeah, right. Beautiful.
So if there's this unresolved, then what it's doing is perfecting our personal peace. We want peace. We want peace. But if there's something unresolved in our life, we cannot have that peace.
That's true.
Right.
You see, our hearts must be aligned with God's will for our worship to be acceptable.
Amen.
But if there's bitterness, if there's anger, if there's unresolved issues, it's going to hinder our ability to truly connect with God during worship. I just don't know why, Brother Craig. I can never really break through. I just don't know why. I know He's here. I know that He can set me free. I'm excited, all these things, but I can never really. Is there unresolved issues? Is there something that you're holding on to inside that may just involve another brother or another sister?
Good, brother.
This is all different sermons, all
right?
That's why we're here. We hear different parts.
Right.
But these are big issues in churches.
It is.
You can literally sit in the same church and literally denominate in a church from the right to the left. Before you know it, you're going to have blue pews and red pews.
That's right.
And before you know it, if we're not careful because of our opinions, we're going to have three different services on the same Sunday, having different styles.
Right.
That's not what we're in here for. I say, if God has called you under a pastor, pray for them and come under that pastor. Come under that atmosphere and give your all.
Amen.
God, help me. God, help me. I want to have the right spirit.
Amen.
Brother Brown says in this next quote, he says, you know, when someone says something evil about you and you want to take it up and get angry about it, wait a minute. That shows that you haven't went quite deep enough yet.
True.
Big men don't do those things. No, sisters, don't think he's just talking to them. It's all of us.
That's right.
That's what made him God to me. Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
He was big. He didn't have to notice their little scoffing. He had a purpose.
Good.
That's it. You got to have a purpose.
Good.
Yes. You got to have something that goes beyond the things that are said against you and the things. Yes. And listen, they may come at you, and it could be accidental. It doesn't matter. But whether it's for whether it was meant to or not, if you have purpose like he did,
hallelujah,
you will push it aside and keep moving forward. He had a work to do, and that was to fulfill what God had sent him to do. And he was determined. Are you determined this morning? I'm going to ask you again. Are you determined?
Yeah.
Wake up your neighbor and ask him, are you determined? I want to ask, turn to the other neighbor, wake them up and say, are you determined? They're probably saying, am I determined to do what? Are you determined to serve the Lord? Are you determined to go through him no matter what anyone says against you?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you determined? Now the song comes in my mind, and now I don't remember the full story, but I'm going to give part of it, and you can look it up. I have decided to follow Jesus. Talk about a determination in the writing of this song.
Right.
I'm just going to get to the end part of this song, or the end part of the story, where there was a family that had given their heart to Christ. And I believe this was an Indian, forgive me if I'm wrong, but they had given their heart to Christ, and they were a part of a tribe. And so they go back to their tribe, and they're trying to win the souls of their tribe, of their area. Well, they wasn't having none of it. So they take that family, and the leader of the tribe says, "You need to renounce Christ. If you don't renounce Christ, you know I'm going to kill your family." And he said, "I have decided to follow Jesus."
Praise God.
Well, then all of a sudden, they take those arrows and they kill the family, kill the boy, I believe, maybe two boys or a boy and a girl, and the wife. And it just goes in and destroys and murders them. And he says, "Though none go with me," or whatever it is, and the song just keeps going on and on. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then the same ones that killed his family then murdered his own life, murdered him. You say, well, what was the point of all of that? What was the point if they all died? Because after the murdering had been done, then the king of that tribe was moved so much by the determination of that family, willing to give their life, willing to give their life for the cause of Christ, then gave his life.
Praise God.
The same one that gave the order to murder them gave his life for the cause of Christ. And then I don't remember who all gave from that point. All I'm saying is this: you've got to be so determined that it doesn't matter what anyone said about you on social media or even to your face. I'm going to follow Jesus. If I'm going to go all alone, I'm going to go all alone. There is nothing in heaven or earth that can stop me because of the very God that's inside of my heart. Those things are going to come your way.
Right.
But it's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you what it is. A core value of reconciliation is humility.
Right.
I want that to really be in humility. This next scripture says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." You are looking at one another, and your goal is to not to get them to look at you and lift you up, but you're to give, to esteem them more than you.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister.
Amen.
You know, no matter what has happened, no matter what they've done to you, no matter what the hurt is, listen, I believe a lot of young people are carrying things in their life that have been caused by generations before.
Amen.
You know, you almost look at it like the Hatfield and McCoys. Can you imagine after so many generations to be like, why are we even doing this? Why are the churches even against each other?
Come on.
Right. Why can't the young people come together? Why do churches say they can't do this and they can't do this? And before you know it, we're like, I don't even know anymore. It's because grandma said or great grandma said. I'm not against them. Please don't think I'm speaking. I'm just talking about generational curses. And before you know it, each generation is carrying the weight of anxiety and the weight of fear and the weight of bitterness.
Right.
And they don't even know why. Listen, you've got to be, we're talking about generational curses, you've got to be the one that says, why are we this way? Why do I have to, why can't I fellowship with this brother and this sister? Well, don't you know, 35 years ago, something happened over here, and you're still holding. No wonder churches can't get anywhere. No wonder young people can't, because you're carrying the bitterness of 50 years ago. I say, let's break those bitterness chains, because you can't come and worship God holding on to that bitterness. He said, go out. Leave that worship at the altar. Go out and make it right before that worship does anything.
That's right.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Right.
I'm going to go to this one. Now this is just a quote. I didn't put it up here, but I had to put that picture. That's all right. And isn't it that just the way people do it today? Let God just bless a fellow. Put a little confidence in him, and he gets to be a know-it-all. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all don't do that. That's good. Right. Praise the Lord. He's got to start an organization, or he's got to do something that's different. I've got to be different. Why art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? See, God has a hard time trying to get somebody that he can deal with.
True.
That'll stay humble and meek. And stay in the place until God calls him to do something. You believe that? Amen. A man that God can bless, and he'll still keep himself a man, not be an angel or a god.
Right.
As soon as a man gets blessed and has a little something given to him, he wants to be a god.
Oh my.
Little G-O-D here. He wants to become an angel. He wants to become a great person. Says, what I do, me and mine.
Oh my.
That's the wrong attitude.
That's right.
God's hunting for somebody who he could bless and pour out the blessings, and more he blessed, the littler the man will become.
Yeah, that's right.
See, that's the difference. The more you get to God, the closer you get to God,
yes, Lord,
the more humble you
become. Yes, right. Lord.
The more you recognize, I actually needed him more. And now it's not enough. I gave him more. Come on, young guys.
Wonderful.
The closer you get, each service that you've come and you've heard the word, hasn't it struck you? I need more.
Yes, sir.
I need more of him. It's not enough. Listen, coming to the altar is not just about coming to repentance. And sometimes coming to the altar is just like, oh, I just want to give my heart to you again. I need more of you. I love you so much more. See, we don't want to just make this an altar of repentance all the time. Sometimes it's just getting beyond our seat and coming to worship God. Coming together. I've been loving what I've seen. And I think a little bit last night where y'all got together and y'all prayed for one another. Listen, brothers, don't ever let that stop.
That's right.
Don't ever let that stop, sisters. When you walk away from here, don't let that stop. In fact, you go back to your little... Well, we don't have a big youth. Listen, if you're the only youth, you're the youth.
Amen.
The youth.
Good.
Yes,
good.
Hallelujah. If there's two of you, be the two of you. Be the best that you can.
That's right. Yes,
whatever, the good. Son, whatever that, my lot thou has caused me to say it is well with my soul. Listen, there's a purpose to this. Don't keep your eyes on other things. Keep your eyes on the purpose God has put to me. And here it is. And you'll never get more of God until you become nothing.
Right.
Beautiful.
You've got to. Now, I know we're fighting two battles here, but I hope you understand what Brother Graham's saying here. He says you've got to belittle yourself. Because there's some people that... Now, I'm a musician, I'm a singer, and I do the best I can, so I don't have a problem saying this. I'm not pointing anyone out. But there's some people that can sing, and they know they can sing.
Right.
They can sing.
Oh, right.
But just because you can sing, doesn't mean that you're bringing an atmosphere.
That's right.
There's musicians that can play music just fine. They can play.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to talk like Brother Lindsay, but I can't do it. They can play. But does that mean you're creating an atmosphere?
That's right.
Hey, man, there's some preachers that can preach.
Sure. Come on.
But what's happening when the ministry's going?
Right.
Listen, I said this before. This might just become my slogan. Listen, hey, man. God used a donkey one day.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But what good did it do for him later?
Right.
I mean, did he Is there a golden donkey somewhere now that I don't know about? Is there a place for donkeys? I'm not saying that. Listen, I don't want to just be used and end up in hell.
Good.
Brother,
good.
Right. Listen, I don't want to just sing and end up in hell. I don't want to go from here and walk right out of the filth of the world. No, I want to be humble. I want to stay humble. And you'll never, listen to what he says here. He that will humble himself, God will exalt. He that will humble himself, God will exalt. You've got to get little before you can get big. And you'll never be big in your own self. You'll never be big in your own self. You'll only be as big as God will be big in you. God, I want to be as big as you want me to be. Lord, I don't care. Listen, if I have to just be the doormat, Lord, that's all I want to be. As long as I can be used by you, that's my goal. That's my burden, Lord. I don't want anything else but that. That's my heart's desire.
Amen. So,
a ministry of reconciliation is not just a program, but a lifestyle that embodies the heart of the gospel. It doesn't just, listen, you can't just wait on the brother next to you to have the ministry. God's given it to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Now you can leave this place going, I actually have something to do.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know, I have a ministry. It's not just for some. No, I have a ministry, and it's the ministry of reconciliation. And it's a hard one, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard ministry. But what we're doing here is we're reflecting God's character. Forgiveness and reconciliation mirrors the heart of God, who forgives us freely. And when we forgive others, we reflect His love and grace, making our worship more authentic, making it real. Why? Because we're so in tune to the character of God. It's not just about, hey, look at me, I can do something. No, I am so in tune to God that it doesn't matter if I fall flat on my face, I will give God the glory. It doesn't matter if He takes everything away. If He never touches my body again, I know my soul is set free. I would rather walk into heaven lame and halted in a wheelchair, but I know as soon as I go to the other side, I will not be that same individual. God, let my ministry be what it should be. Sometimes we want the biggest of ministries, and we want to be looked upon, and we want this. Listen, you don't want that. You just, listen, I think more than anything right now, we need ministers of reconciliation.
Amen.
What I mean by ministers, I'm talking about ministry. The mothers minister to their children. You follow what I'm saying? We need ministries of reconciliation. It's needed in the church, and it can start with you young people. It can start with young people that has a burden that says, I'm not going to let this bitterness continue in our church or in our families.
Hallelujah.
Oh my.
Beautiful.
Jesus says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we are not fully surrendered to God by holding on to these old things and these bitter things and these past Hatfield and McCoy stories and all of these things. And listen, there might have been some legit truth, and I'm not saying that, but it doesn't matter. Why are we going to hold ourselves down from past things when we have so much that's in store for us, so much word that's been opened to us?
Yeah.
See, true worshipers are described as those who engage in sincere and genuine worship. This means that worship must stem from a heartfelt place and align with integrity and honesty. Oh, listen, there is a battle of integrity and honesty today. But I want to have the character of Christ. And with that character comes integrity and true honesty. But where there is ill will or unresolved conflict within us, it obstructs the authenticity of our worship. That's what I'm trying to bring across to you. What's holding us back from literally being completely free? That's what I want. I forgot to change the slide, but our brother's doing better than I'm doing. Thank you, brother. You're just wonderful. Which brings us to, at the very bottom, it says, barriers and distractions. What is a barrier and distraction that happens in the church? See, holding on to grudges or resentment creates a barrier between us and God. It affects our ability to connect deeply with Him during worship as our hearts are not fully open.
Bye.
See, I really want to bring us to the message home. See, you might not have anything evil in your home. You might have all the right books, all the right pictures. The message might be playing 24 hours a day, or good music 24 hours a day. You might be reading the Word, but if you're holding on to something from the past, you will never, ever be able to come to that full reality of who He is in you. Amen. See, because ill feelings begin to distract you during worship and during the Word. That's what happens. Because all of a sudden you're sitting there and all of a sudden the Word's starting to hit you, then boom, something hits your mind about what happened. Mm-hmm. Or maybe someone walks, you know, can someone actually walk in your church without you going, phew? And you might not outwardly go, but inside you're like, where are they sitting? I'm sitting over there. And they're like, oh, how I love you. Wait, they have their hands up, I'll put my hands down. They have their clapping, I'm not. They're getting too excited. This might not be for me. Oh, preacher! Right? Y'all never done that, but I'm warning you, it'll happen someday.
Oh, my.
If you're not careful.
Right.
Okay? And during the Word being ministered makes it difficult to focus on God's presence and His goodness. Instead, our minds are dwelt on the conflict rather than on God. And how do we expect to enter into glory when we hold these things? We hold on to the conflict. That's not even our conflict in the first place.
That's right.
And even if it happened directly to you, why would you miss out on the presence of God because of that conflict?
Right.
Think about this. I want to think about the illusion of control. Because the illusion of control is many individuals hold the belief that they can effectively manage their emotions. However, unresolved feelings frequently manifest in detrimental ways, such as stress, anxiety, or conflicts in relationships. See, this perceived control can halt the resolution of underlying emotions. See, you have this up here, and this guy, you know, he might look good, and he might look that he's got, listen, I got it. I got all my emotions in check. But that mirror is his insides.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all over the place.
Right.
But I'm under control. No, you ain't. You're so tore up inside.
That's right.
You're so stressed. You're so this, you're so that, because you're holding on to things that's not even meant for you to hold on to.
Wow.
Listen, and you are not meant to try to hold on to all those emotions.
Right.
Cast your burdens.
Amen.
Don't we sing it every year in camp?
Right.
You want to cast your burdens. I've got them all under control. No, you don't. That doesn't rhyme or fit. That's a song that should never be sung again. That part I added to it. See, the outside looks calm, but inside it's filled with so much rage and running off.
Wow.
Drive down the road and get cut off and find out where you are.
Oh,
let somebody misinterpret you. Find out where you are.
Right.
Negative emotions create a cycle where feelings lead to thoughts that reinforce those feelings, making it difficult to break free. So you still have feelings, but those feelings then lead to thoughts, and then those thoughts reinforce what you feel, and then it happens again, and before you know it, you're in a cycle of reinforcing and building a barrier of walls, and you're not in the world, you're not sinning, and you're not drinking, and you're not smoking, and you're not lying, and you're not cheating, but you build walls of these negative emotions.
Hold on.
Right.
And listen, no man can fix it and no woman can fix it.
That's right.
No marriage can fix it. No friend can fix it. No pastor can fix it. Only Jesus can fix it.
Yes, sir.
Only Jesus will satisfy
your soul. But we can carry the bitterness of past family and church issues that are no longer even a problem.
Yes, sir.
Satan will do what he can to prevent our ministries of reconciliation. If I can just keep that cycle going of negative emotion and negative emotion and negative emotion, then I will halt their ministry. I will halt their worship. Well, they may worship, but they're not worshiping.
That's right.
See, Jesus said, leave your gift. Leave that worship. Leave your gift. Leave it there. Make things right before worship can even take hold. Mm. Listen, I'm going to just be real with you. I can't even deal with you, is what he's saying, until this is taken care of.
Yeah.
You cannot even, listen, you might have brought that gift to the altar. You might have done that, but listen, it does not matter
right.
until those inner things are taken care of.
Yeah,
right.
And don't wait for anyone else to do it. You do it. Well, they're the ones that hurt me. You do it.
Yeah.
You be the one. God help me. Help us all.
Amen.
See, here it is, Brother Branham, in this next voice. If the brother, we're coming down. Don't worry about it. If the brother, you think he's just a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up. Notice what he's saying here. Because it will affect him. Do you believe what he's saying? Notice this. God help us to see this. It'll take the Christ right out of my life.
Right.
That poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away. He's
right.
timid.
Good.
He's timid.
Yes, yes, yes.
Even in a church service.
Yes.
That's why we create an atmosphere. That's why it's important to have the atmosphere moving in this place.
Amen.
Because we want Him to be the center.
Amen.
But how can this happen if we're allowing the jealousy of the past or the bitterness or all of these things that don't even matter anymore. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, I don't even care if it happened yesterday.
Right.
If it happened yesterday, it don't matter. Get it right with God.
Mm.
Don't hold on to it.
Yes, sir.
If you hold on to those things, you'll never go any further with God. But we're the ones that's right. Leave it there. Because even that statement, you might be all right, but still wrong.
Right.
Right.
Hold on.
You might have all the right doctrines. You might have all, you know the quote where Brother Branham said here. I don't want to use that as a cop-out either, but that's it. There's a quote here, talking about having... I'm going to just go this way. You just think of the quote yourself. But I can have all the right doctrines. I can be at the very best church. I can do all of these things. But if my spirit is not right...
Right.
If my spirit, if my attitude is not right... Before you know it, and I know this is an old statement, before you know it, our noses are so high that it would rain and drown.
That's right.
Because we are the bride and we can do no wrong.
Oh, come on.
Listen, I understand in that preview of the bride that even somebody was getting out of step.
Yes.
But you know what happened? What happened? Can I just paraphrase a little bit?
Yes, sir.
When it was yelled out, get back in step, get back in line. What did you do? Well, what am I doing wrong? I go to church and I'm at least about to... No. You see, how do you respond? Remember what last time was saying? What he said? How do you respond when the word is being preached?
Yes, amen.
That shows the type of emotion that you have inside of you.
Right. That's right.
What's going on? That cycle. Because then when the word of God begins to come forth and we start getting a little angry inside, we start getting those weird feelings inside, something's wrong somewhere.
That's right.
But I go to church every week and I do that. I'm so glad you do it. You believe the doctrines, believe the word of God, listen to the message, but make sure your spirit is right.
That's right.
To where you can go to a restaurant and say everything can go wrong, but you won't be putting out the waiter or the waitress.
Praise God.
Good.
Help us, Lord.
I want to be so in tune to God.
Yes, Lord.
We want to have spiritual discernment, but a lot of times we want to have spiritual discernment if we're not careful just to try to find the wrong in somebody. But I believe we want to have true spiritual discernment of God, and I know the right things to say to help someone and to hurt in one way. Because I don't want to take the Christ out of my life.
No, sir.
Amen.
I don't want to be here to take this whole camp And then, listen, you might be tested today. Somebody might come across your way and say something that'll just throw you off. What will you say? How will you react?
That's right.
He thought more of us holding together first.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
What did he even say? He said, go and wait. Right? You have the room?
Right.
And what does the Bible remind us about this? They were in one mind.
Yes.
One accord.
Yes.
Then, something happened.
Hallelujah.
And if Satan can come in the church, and he can start getting our minds all on different things, and against one another, and questioning, and all of these things, how can we have a true Pentecostal experience?
Oh my.
You know what I'm saying when I say that?
Yes, sir.
We'll just revert to one thing. We're talking about the power of God active in a church.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thankful that God comes in and He just pushes through our foolishness.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes He has to do that. Yeah. He will just come in and He's like, you know what? These people need help. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Don't think I'm saying that. They can't get past their own
work.
So He'll come in the service and He'll just
push
it all out. Thank the Lord for that. I needed that. Thank the Lord that He comes in these camps and He goes, you know what? They need help. Jeremy needs help. And He comes in and He just brings that presence all over. He did it up to me. From that point on to just anchor myself
in God's
seat. Or lift my hands and say, God, I need Thee. Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. I don't want to be snobbish or think I'm all that, but God, I just want to do what you want me to
wonderful,
do.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord.
Praise God.
I don't have this quote up there, but I want to read this. It says, and that's the way God does His church. He beats every creed, every denomination, every man-made dogma until He sees His own life reflecting in you.
Yeah. Oh, my.
If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Listen to what He's saying. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. See? If it was purpose to the church, the life that was in Christ isn't reflecting in you. He said, don't you stand still if you haven't got patience, virtue, all these things, and temperance. Go ahead and go to the next slide. All of these things. Don't you stand still if you haven't got patience, virtue, all these things, and temperance, and all things, and godliness, and brotherly kindness. And all these things that's required of you, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you've shouted, how many churches you've joined, how many feathers you've pinned into yourself, don't do it! Wait till genuinely, from your heart, you can forgive.
Amen.
Till in your heart you have brotherly kindness. No matter if they pull a handful of beard from one side, you can turn the other cheek with sweetness. Until those virtues, no matter what they say to you.
Oh my.
Listen. We all want to quote Brother Branham. We all want to say that he's a prophet, but we don't really look at his life so much if we're not careful.
Right.
We don't see the humility that he had in his life when brothers did him wrong.
That's right.
Now there was a point in time when he had to stand, right? And he had to stand against some things.
Right.
How many times did he just say, oh, just bless the Lord? Yeah. Oh, just, you know, it'll be all right. And how many times when somebody would say something bad about him, he would turn it around and say something positive.
That's right.
We need to come together and stop these civil wars with the young people. And with brothers and sisters.
Wonderful.
Yes.
It's got to a point if we're not careful, Satan doesn't have to do anything.
That's right. Oh my.
I don't have to worry about fighting this camp. I'll just sit right here and watch them figure out that they're different. Watch them figure out that they go to different churches and they believe maybe a little bit different here and a little bit different there. And before you know it, they'll be like this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Good.
Don't do it.
Right.
There's a reason for that stature of a perfect man. And what is that last thing before that capstone? Brotherly kindness. Why is it so hard to have it? Well, because it's coming down to the end of it all. It's, and I wish I could say it eloquently like other ministers can, but in my mind it's just like, because it's almost over, it's the hardest thing to figure out, and that's why Satan wants us to be against each other.
Right.
Oh my.
Can somebody say tonight, oh God, let me have the ministry I want that ministry in my own life. I realize that that's me, God. I want to have the ministry of reconciliation. Not to go and say, you this and you know. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. You know, it's so important to have that ministry in our lives.
That's right.
Because if Satan can stop that, how can we truly worship in the house of God? If that scripture that we read in the beginning is still real today, if we still believe Jesus' words, how can we come and bring our gifts to the altar and have aught against our brother and sister? Right? God has placed in each of us, each and every one of us, a ministry that goes beyond our worship. If we cannot fulfill this reconciliation, our worship is meaningless. That's why the thought of worship or a ministry above our worship. Worship is important, right? It's a very important thing. We even find in the very beginning how worship was done. One worshiped this way and one worshiped another way. One had revelation, correct?
Yeah.
So worship is very important. But Jesus comes along and says, if you cannot get with your brother or sister, your worship is nothing. So we cannot bypass all the Word of God or even one scripture. We've got to go through all of the Word. I want to be free.
Amen.
Do you want to be free, sisters? Do you want to be free, brothers?
Yeah.
Then you've got to carry this ministry. If your parents don't carry it, if the ministry doesn't carry it, you carry that ministry. You show the love of God. You show that brotherly kindness. Brother Brown said, stand still. No matter what you've done until those things are in your life.
Amen.
We want to run and we want to spread the gospel. And I mean this in a positive way. We want to spread it. We want to say all of these things. But how can we do it if our life of love is not there?
That's right.
He's done so much for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
These mornings, there's supposed to be more of a teaching. I've been trying to keep to that. But I don't want you to just idly move on by with this. I want you to take a few moments as the musicians come. Our heads bowed. Ministry of reconciliation. What is it, brothers and sisters, that could be, I know you have, I'm not even asking you to come up this morning. I'm not doing that. All I'm asking is just right where you're at. Is there something that I am holding, maybe against another brother, something that, or another sister, is there something, and again, like I said in the very beginning here, you may not even be fighting this yet, but I promise you, if the Lord tarries, you're going to face this. Because this is a major thing in churches. Is always to try to get people against people. From misunderstandings or things that actually do happen and go wrong. I'm going to go ahead and just break it to you. Something is going to actually say something to hurt you. But what are you going to do then? Reconciliation. Stand upon the Word of God. I'm not here to fight you and play whatever comes upon your hearts. I'm not here to fight. I'm not here to throw rocks at one another. Before you know it, we're in two different ditches and we're heaving stones at one another. This church is heaving a stone at this church. This youth group is heaving a stone at this church. And we wonder, God, can we just come back to the heart of worship? Can we just come back where we can love one another and not just get this weird feeling? Listen, there are people that are trying hard and maybe they don't even know what to do. And you're the one that is supposed to carry that ministry before them. And yet our looks, how we look at them, how we act, our faces tell so much of hatred and indifference. I don't want to be that person. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Okay. Not here to preach anymore. If you're here, your heads are bowed, you're like, Brother Jeremy, believe this is speaking directly to my heart. We're not here to look upon one another. We're here to look to God. Brother Jeremy, this is speaking directly to my heart. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand. It's my, don't do it because anyone else. This is you. You and God. This is not for everybody right now. I get it. All right. Lord knows your heart. I don't know your names, but He knows you. So that means that you have to be determined now. If you're recognizing this, you have to be determined. As Christ was determined, He had a purpose in His heart. That means no matter how many crowns of thorns, how many times people says anything to me, no matter what goes on, it doesn't matter. I have a ministry and I'm heading that way. My eyes are focused on that ministry. Lord, you see the hands that were raised. And I believe in my heart, I'm going to lift my hands to you for the same things. God, I don't want it. I don't want it. Lord, I think somewhere along the way your prophet mentioned about being an old crank. Lord, I don't want to be an old crank someday. Crank of religion. It's got to be. Lord, I don't want to be that. I want to be soft. Pliable, Lord. I want to be a soldier. Yes, Lord, I want to be a soldier. But God, I want to be able to be an eagle that knows when to drop meat to an eagle that's low. Because God, there was eagles before when I was low, when I was not where I should be, that dropped meat and gave me the word when I needed it, Lord. And then it was up to me to eat it. Lord, help me to be that. Would you touch these young people, Lord, that have lifted their hands to you, God? Would you go into their hearts so deep? May there be such a love just swell from inside. Maybe they have to go make something right. Okay, Lord, let them do that. May they not have fear in them. But may they just be truly honest and humble. May they love you like never before.
Amen.
Father, I just thank you for your word. Let me be that ministry of reconciliation, that my worship can be whole and pleasing to you. Do you want your worship to be pleasing to Him? Do you? Could you imagine Him just smiling upon you? Because your worship is pleasing to Him. It's not pleasing. Listen, it doesn't have to be pleasing to the person next to you. But the one you're singing it to looks down upon you. And He smiles. And to have Him smile, knowing what I've done and knowing the things that I've been through, the things that I've said, to have Him smile on your life, young people, that's what it's all about. Let's sing this song again. If I can't, help me out singing this. Hallelujah. What's the first part of that? Do you have a verse in there? Yes. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Yes, Lord. May I be thine. Can we see that again? Change my heart. Worship Him now. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. And you are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Yes, Lord. Change my heart, oh Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be loved.
Can we just sing it again now from the top? Sing it with all your heart now. Change my heart.